Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. How are you doing out there in sunny California?
Well, I know why you're laughing, because I had emailed Sherry earlier this morning saying, because Sherry's in Ohio where it's really cold, saying that this morning I went to turn on my furnace because it was 44 outside, and my furnace did nothing, so it's a balmy 56 degrees in my studio currently, so it's a little crisp, but I feel okay considering, what temperature is it there?
About 5.
Yeah, see, so, you
and
know.
And windy and nippy.
Yeah, see, we got nothing. It's not breezy, it's not anything, it's clear blue skies, the sun is coming out, so it's hard for me to complain too much. It's just cold in here, but it's coming around.
Well, welcome, listeners, wherever you are, and if you're cold or warm, or we just had a message from Pauline. It's 102 degrees down in Australia, so we were complaining about the cold, and she wrote that little note, 102.
Wow.
So we're welcoming listeners from all over the world, and we love it. We're getting thousands of people, 68 in Houston, Steve said, thousands of people through all over the globe listening and sharing what we're doing, so we're really happy with that. So all of you, welcome to Sound Health Options on Blog Talk Radio. We're always happy to have you with chat at Blog Talk Radio. Richard is manning that chat. So we have a very incredibly important guest today, so we hope you'll send us in lots of questions. For those of you with us on WebEx, that's from our website, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to the radio link and then to Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see our guest today, Dead on Arrival, a Prescription for Disaster, Dr. Mark Davis. We'll be with him in a few minutes. We have a couple of announcements. We're coming to you from the studios in California of Talk to Me Guy, Richard Olson, and from the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. We're a registered nonprofit 501c3, the largest alternative research center in Ohio, and we look at the frequencies of people's voice to see if we can determine the status of their health. So Obamacare is one of the things we're going to talk about today, and that certainly is affecting a lot of people. We're getting a lot of horror stories about what's happening or not happening. And you remember back a few months when we did Jonathan Gruber's voice. I'll show people that. Jonathan Gruber was the guy who stood up and said, the public is too stupid to know what's in Obamacare. And a lack of transparency is a great political advantage. Gruber was telling the truth. Now, he went before Congress and apologized. That really wasn't what he said, and blah, blah, blah. But he was telling the truth. That's exactly what's going on. He does have a love of humanity. Good with words. He did get fired from a lot of his jobs. We'll see if our guest can talk a little bit more about that. I only have one announcement, Richard. Do you have any for this morning?
Yes, I do. I'd like to mention this, and I'll put this into both chats. I have to take a deep breath before I talk about it, because it just outrages me beyond. A school in Colorado where cannabis or marijuana is legal within the state, there's a child who has quadriplegic cerebral palsy in dystonia. This child was using patches to help control his condition, and they were patches with CBD or cannabidiols, which are the non-THC side of cannabis, medical marijuana. And so the school chose to tell this child that they could that the child could no longer come to school, even though this was a medically approved by a doctor within the state of Colorado. The school said, basically, you have to take the patches off, and you can't wear them anymore, and you can't come to school if you're going to use the patches. And the angle that the school chose to manipulate this person with, this child and this family, was saying that, well, it's federally illegal. This is in a state where it has been stated to be illegal. So the whole manipulation, and I'm certain Mark will have words about this in the sense of how the whole system is, I have a word, but I can't say that on air. And so, but it just outrages me that here's a child who's getting benefit from using the non-THC side, even though there are benefits to THC as well, the non-psychoactive side of cannabis, and the school is basically taking this away from this child who has this, like, really, I mean, the child is in a wheelchair. So I'll put this in chat. This just blows my mind.
Sometimes I get so perplexed, the only word I can say, about what is going on and how bizarre and illogical it is for some of these things that are happening. We're going to be talking about how people who didn't pay into the system now get Obamacare or now get tax refunds. So our guest, well, I talked to him right before the show, and I didn't want to hang up on him, but I had to get ready for the show. But he has so much information. So we'll do the keynote really quick, if you want to introduce the keynote. And then we'll get
the
right
keynote is this, yeah, the keynote is this wonderful thing that Sherry monitors with the software and gives actual, you know, what I would call a readout of her interpretation. There are other agencies like, oh, NASA that monitor it, but I have the feeling they know less about it than Sherry does. And it's a cosmic energy. It's a cosmic note. How Sherry's software interprets it is as a note and then gives us information about this sort of window of 5 to 7 days of this amazing thing called the keynote. I love the keynote.
I think it's actually a modernization or support for astrology and how all that happened by the movements of the planets and people's need to understand themselves and their personalities and why people do the things they do. We call it a keynote, but it's actually a frequency that comes toward the Earth in a very cyclical manner, 24 hours, the moon cycle, the year cycle. So we try to warn people up front about what is happening so that they can be more prepared. So I'll just read part of this, and then you guys can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, under news and open keynote. We always leave a little saying there, and I want to read the saying today. As you waste your breath complaining about life, someone out there is breathing their last. Appreciate what you have. And I tie that in to the fact that asthma frequencies are up and coming, and they're going to be active in the next week or so. So if it's not really the allergies or stress or whatever that's influencing your inability to breathe, it could be some antitrypsin, but you may need a little bit more of medication, depending on left brain or right brain, or you may overdose a bit, but it's temporary and it will be improving by the 22nd. But always check with your wellness provider about your meds. This is a biggie. B12 is active for the next 10 days or so, well, 3 days behind us, so another 10 days. Incredibly important nutrient because it helps optimal brain and neurological function. And one of the things that we're noticing in the institute and in our clinical lab is people are coming in just dancing with restless legs. And they said, oh, I've been up all night. I couldn't sleep till 5 something or that. And I think that's part of this B12 being in stress, because this B12 helps maintain the fatty acid covering on your nerves, the myelin sheathing, so that your nerves don't get raw like a raw electrical cord and send sparks flying. But not only restless legs, but bladder control, burning or tingling anywhere in the body, cognitive decline, boy, I've noticed that one this week, fatigue, unsteady balance or gait, and visual abnormality. There's a lot more going on about that, and you could read about it, soundhealthoptions.com, news and events. Norepinephrine is another one that's in stress. I love norepinephrine. It's such an energy hit for me. But it's about how the body uses dopamine, serotonin, all that energy information. For those of you who are bioacoustic practitioners, that's in our methylation mapping software. Bowel's a little bit distressed because of the lack of some digestive enzymes. Muscles in the lower back are weak, maybe a little achy. It's probably the weak stomach muscles, particularly the frequencies associated with the rectus abdominis, that straight up muscle from top to bottom, kind of, and quadrate of the loin muscle. For those suffering with joint pain or arthritis, that's going to be going on for the next 8 to 10 days. So stay off the things that cause you arthritis reactions, like bread and milk for some people. You had any restless leg stuff going on, Richard?
No, the crampy thing has been up again. So I'm certain, and everything that you said about B12 makes me want, I have to go walk away from the mic and go get some sublingual B12 now. Boy, that's amazing. So perfect at this time.
Well, if we tell people that and they start getting the symptoms, then they are going to know they're going to go away in a few days, but they do have some stress with some of these things, and they could take care of it with food or nutrients or sound, whichever way they want to go. So do you want to introduce our guest?
Absolutely. I know we have so much to talk about that we have to get Mark in here. Let me read this intro and we'll get the conversation rolling. I know already. Obamacare, dead on arrival, a prescription for disaster, discusses in detail the most horrific legislation concerning health care ever to emanate from the bowels of Washington, D.C. Encompassed in Mark Davis's book are many firsthand accounts how people were hurt and even killed when services were rationed. On-demand health care will be a memory as this legislation is fully implemented. Scarcities in services and pharmaceuticals will become the norm. As the system is overwhelmed by an influx of patients, limiting systems will be the only way to manage the medical system. Mark Davis is here to discuss the economics and reality of the Affordable Care Act. Greetings, Mark. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate being on. We have a lot to cover today. I might as well jump into it.
We really appreciate you coming back. You were here about a year ago.
Yes.
Is the worst thing about Obamacare?
You find one thing that's the best thing about it. I don't think so. Use the paradox. Not much, really. There's a claim that there's up to 20 million people now are on the healthcare exchanges that... We don't know if that number is accurate. It was 7 million and 10 million and 20 million. Many of these people were shifted over from public assistance programs onto Obamacare. Many people came on and they claimed they're being helped with subsidies, things like that. What I see is this lack of access. Access has been reduced. Costs have gone up very, very high at this point in time. I could tell you my own Blue Cross went from $1,000 a month for two people to $1,800 a month. And we switched plans. We went from a gold to a bronze plan. The difference only is the deductible. That's all. That's being seen all across the country. Deductibles have gone through the roof. Co-payments have gone through the roof. Whether you pay them or not, some doctors will accept you without the co-payment. We know approximately a quarter of all physicians do not take Obamacare. That article came up about 3 or 4 months ago. I don't blame them. It pays them 30 to 40% of what they get through other means. as well, and overhead for a doctor's office typically runs 50% of their take. So that's pre-tax. So I don't see much uptick or upside to Obamacare right now. Multiple times people have tried to get rid of Obamacare, especially in the House of Representatives. At that point in time, they pass a law, and up till the time of January 2nd, 2015, Harry Reid would block it. What we have now is a bad health law we tried to amend it as many times as we could, and they're not allowing it. What has happened, though, there have been 47 changes to the Obamacare since it was signed into law March 23rd, 2010. Many of them came from the White House themselves in terms of delays, the individual mandate, the business mandates, some of the IRS components of it have been delayed. Some of this stuff won't come into effect until 2020. Individual mandates have been delayed until 2016. The business mandates have been delayed to 2016. Obamacare is dead on arrival. What we predicted in the book is happening already. Exchanges here in Maryland, the exchange failed completely. $250 million down the drain. They're trying to reconfigure it now. I think there are more people coming into the system on Obamacare exchange here in Maryland, but we're just a classical example of a profoundly blue state that wants Obamacare no matter what. No matter what it costs, they're going to implement it. And so there's a lot of downside to Obamacare as we go through today. You can see that individual cases, people are just being harmed, no doubt.
This is so illogical. Why is it being allowed to go forward?
Well, look how it got in the first place. The Senate in March 2010 voted 60-39. The final vote in the House, there were multiple votes, was 219-212. Those people are not around anymore. Of course, they were lambasted when they came back to their home districts. So Obama promised the people in those districts, if your guy votes for my bill, I'll give you a bridge, a road. So the White House enabled it by giveaways, and those giveaways just they fleeted it, and half of them didn't even come true. So what you have, that is the point. It's not been allowed, actually. The House has tried numerous times under John Boehner, who I think is a very weak Speaker of the House, to try to defund it, and then the Senate won't go along with it. And, of course, you know you need a two-thirds vote to override a presidential veto. So we still have Obamacare. Then the Supreme Court in June 28, 2012 came along and said, hey, look, we can... The taxing authority of the federal government will allow Obamacare to exist, and that's where we are right now. We have another case going before the Supreme Court about the subsidy. States were supposed to get subsidies, not the federal exchange. So it could falter right at that point, but with the way the construction of the court is right now, I don't think it's going to go in that direction. So I think Obamacare is here for even the short term, at least through 2016. So now, when Romney was running, we can never get him to say on the first time he ran that he will take down Obamacare. What he said was, he will amend it. And then people pushed at him, if you listen to the cross conversations, that he would get rid of it. Remember, Romney Care came in 2006 up in Massachusetts, the Bay State, and that is a micro clone of the Obamacare pack. Some of the stuff that's in the Obamacare was copied from the Massachusetts plan, and that was a bad plan in and of itself. I wrote it in the book that people, there were 92% of the state was covered prior to Romney Care coming in. They extended to 96%. You didn't have to change an entire state's health system to get 4% of the people involved in the health care. And all kinds of subsidies going in. And the bigger nonsense was people came into Massachusetts from all other states, even from foreign countries, and we're getting health care at extremely reduced cost. All you did at that time when it came in to buy $1,000 or so, and you can get $10,000 worth of care. So you bought $1,000 worth of insurance, you get a $10,000 surgery. I don't know if they've clipped that by now. Hopefully they have. But Massachusetts is known as giving away money, so who knows what's going on up there. But I would think that the Obamacare in and of itself is not what it was supposed to be. It's not been giving the precepts, not given the promises have not been fulfilled through Obamacare as been happened. You cannot keep your doctor. The prices have gone up. Access has been reduced. People are rebuffing it. Hospitals are closed because of the financial burdens that Obamacare complains of. Even insurance companies have closed down. So, and we know businesses are affected. You know, the people with especially the people with 50 or more workers are supposed to be covered. That's not happening. A lot of workers went down to part time, so they don't have to be covered. And then most recently, was Staples was attacked by the president, saying that, well, they're reducing hours over at Staples because of Obamacare, therefore they don't have to pay, which is completely untrue. If you look at the small print of exactly their health system at Staples, they employ 85,000 people, and a lot of them are part-timers, and that's the way it's been.
With our company, and it's very small, we have a staff of about 9, a third of the people's IRS refund was withheld.
Yeah.
Why is IRS have their fingers in Obamacare? What's that connection?
That's a very good question. The United States Code, which is the law, the legal basis, Obamacare and IRS equate. Many of the tenants in Obamacare relate to IRS regulatory structure. And one of those things is a mandate. They take $90 out of $100. It'll soon go to 2% of your income. So in order to enforce Obamacare, you have to have an enforcing arm, and the IRS is that enforcement arm. And they've given over huge authority to basically confiscate your money. Or they'll take your deductible, whatever you have coming back from them in terms of refunds, they'll take that away. And so forth. So if the doctor doesn't offer a deductible, which is reasonable, then go after the doctor. I mean, there's an expansive code within Obamacare. Think of Obamacare as a group of laws under one canopy, and it's easy to conceive. It's not just one law. It's multiple two laws. The Patient Protection and Affordability Care Act is nothing. As the name implies, it's more the controlling arm of health care through the government now. And we have seen detriment from Obamacare in terms of cost structures, care actually given, people turned away from emergency rooms, doctors refusing to take it, and things like that. So the IRS is an intricate part of that, and that's not going to go away. So we need to debalance, if you will, the IRS from it, but they're not going to do that.
One of the things we've suggested to our people is they increase their deductions. So there's less money taken out that the government holds, which in the first 3 months of this year has been over $1 trillion. And they're holding that money and getting interest on that money that really belongs to you. So increase your withholding to 6 or something if you got 2 kids.
Wow.
They take out less, and you put that in a little savings over here, and you draw the interest, and then they can't keep it at the end of the year.
I would agree with that, like a medical savings account type of setup. But what you don't see is if the government's taking it, it's being redistributed someplace else. A bridge here, people in the cities having babies, they need support, things like that, going to immigration. The money's being redistributed around. It's not going to a specific fund, as they say it is. I don't believe that. Not at all.
We have another question from the audience, and this may be lighting a bomb here. But do you think people are afraid to insult a black president, and that's why they won't cross him on as many things that he's doing that any other president would have been nailed for?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They're called racists. We're all, you know, as soon as you make any kind of, I've been called a racist. I'm certainly far from that. I've employed hundreds of black Americans. I used to own or manage nursing homes, and most of our employees were black. So that is the case. We were afraid of being called a racist, of being called out on the carpet, that we're doing things that are discriminatory in any sense of the word. And then if you attack Obama on Obamacare, they'll say, well, you're trying to kill babies or old people, things like that, which is what Obamacare essentially will do down the road if it's fully enforced. So, everybody who's come to the carpet on Obama is being called a racist right now. And then they have the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and the Oprah Winfreys out there who are battling for Obama to keep him in power and stuff like that. So, yeah, anything Obama says, we don't like, you're a racist. That you're right. The audience is correct.
Are people or the government, are they going after you for going against Obamacare?
In what sense do you mean?
Are they threatening you? Are they telling you to shut up?
Tell me specifically?
Yes.
No, no one's telling me to shut up. No, no, not at all. I've been on national radio a number of times. No, not at all. I would tell you this: they damn my book. I could tell you that I've gotten emails that they won't put in writing on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or the 1,000 sites wherever the book is. They try to kill the sales, but that in and of itself has not happened. Not as of yet. I stepped aside from practice about 3-4 years ago. So that they can't bother me here. But I can tell you this, in a left-wing state, anything's possible here. And we know healthcare is mind-boggling bad in Maryland, where we have John Hopkins and the University of Maryland. Things are hidden from us. We're told things that are not true about the healthcare program constantly. And the Anthony Brown, who was running for governor, he lost his ability to run because he screwed up the Obamacare exchange. It was under his watch that the Obamacare exchange failed here. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't know yet. A lot of stuff will be revealed as time goes forward.
We had a situation happen at our clinic here. A young kid came in and was suicidal, and I wanted some testing done. We sent him to our local doctor. She asked if he had a medical card, and I said, yes. And she said, well, I can't see him. Because I refused to play their games. I said, that's okay, I'll pay for it. She said, if he's on a medical card, I can't accept cash from you or anybody else for him. They're trying to strangle the good doctors and the ones that won't play. They're trying to strangle them right out of the system.
Yeah, but that's not new. That's old. Medicare used to do that as well until a doctor confronted them in New Jersey. A patient came to a doctor and was willing to pay cash for his services. He wanted this specific doctor. Doctor told him that Medicare will stop him, sanction him, take his license, whatever. And he went to court and won that. So that has, in and of itself, changed a lot. But on medical assistance level, I don't think that's been challenged in court yet. And it should be. Because doctors are giving 10, 20, 30% on the dollar in terms of their fees. And I don't blame the doctor for not taking it. Not that we're not humanitarian. Not that we're not good people. We have bills to pay like anybody else. And we have a lot of high bills. A medical malpractice, as an example, can run 10-20% of your gross take as a physician. So this is something that has to be addressed. It's not been addressed, and unfortunately, those things are happening on a state-by-state basis. It has to be looked at.
How does this affect the insurance industry side, from the corporate side? How does this affect insurance companies?
Well, initially, they were all for it. They were jumping up and down for it because they knew the fees were going to go up. Artificially elevated premiums. Look at the premiums. I mentioned mine. And across the country, premiums have soared 100-150% in many cases. I think a couple of states reported 10% reduced, but the rest of the states reported increases, of course. So they were all for it initially, but the regulatory structure is so dense, they didn't realize what they're getting into in the first place. So many companies are making more money. Many smaller companies are being hard hit. And as it plays out, you'll see more companies going out of business. If you look at the hospital end, hospitals have closed themselves. There were about 5,700 registered hospitals throughout the country. Many of those are closed. Many of those reduced services, things like that. So it's been a burden on them overall. The pharmaceutical companies were for it. Look at Crestor as an example. It's a cholesterol reducing drug. That the price, as soon as Obamacare came in, it doubled, tripled, and even quadrupled in some cases, up to $900 a month, depends where you are in the country. People are importing the drugs from out of the country. Same drug, half price, quarter price. So it, system by system, if you look at the pharmaceuticals, the insurance company, because they're all tied in, you know, an insurance company pays the pharmaceutical company, pays the doctor, and so forth, and the hospitals where doctors work. So if you try to isolate them, it's hard to do that. But overall, it's been a detriment to them.
Well, can you give us some examples of how this has helped people or hindered people from getting good care?
Well, firstly, if you look at the thousands of positive Obama sites that have been set up by the left, it's glowing. It has glowing reviews. They've gotten the best of the best. If you look at the minutia, which is where you really need to look between the lines, that's not actually happening. Because people are having a difficult time finding physicians that take Obamacare. They're finding that the deductibles and co-payments have skyrocketed, in a sense. The 20 so-called million people that are on Obamacare right now believe it's going to help them. They claim that the number of uninsured went from 18 to 13.4%. If you could believe these numbers, and I don't believe any of these numbers at all. We've seen changes in the numbers on a regular basis. They're in flux, all the numbers. So I don't see it as a help. Prior to Obamacare's incipience of March 23rd, 2010, so prior to that, 85% or more of the country was covered somehow, some way. So we should have gone in the direction to try to cover the people, the legitimate people in the country, who were here in that 15%, maybe it was 10%, I'm not sure. We don't know. They've data numbers from 15 million to 44 million. I don't know which is a solidified number who was uninsured. Did it help? I don't see it helping. Medicare was still there. When Medicare A, B, C, and D was available to people. Medical assistance was out throughout the country, so that was out there for people. There was no reason in this country for someone not to get health care some way, somehow. Every state has their own program, like the CHIP program here in Maryland that gives young kids food and health care. So I don't see it as a big help. I think the price of health care has gone so high that many people can't afford it. So they go without it. They rather have the penalty. That's what I see.
Well, the penalty's going up and up, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Over a period of time, the penalty will go up and up until it becomes a percentage of your income instead of a fixed number like $100 or $200. So that's going to happen. And as the delays that they've done through the White House and the Congress are not delayed anymore, you're going to see more and more people paying higher and higher costs for health care with less access, less quality of care. And to get around the number of doctors, this is something that's very, who's ever listening, to get around it, they've imported tens of thousands of doctors in the last 10, 15 years from India, Pakistan, all over the place. And their educations are questionable. They take a couple of tests here, and there's an industry to get them past those tests, and they call them MDs. You know, you have a guy coming out of high school 5 or 6 years later in India, he's a physician. And that's not right. So we don't, as far as I could find, and I look for it, I could not find how they credential these doctors from overseas, like comparing their transcripts and their degrees to American schools. They're just called physicians, and that's the way it is. I myself, about 8 years ago, was misdiagnosed, and I'm healthy as can be. My knee was misdiagnosed by a Indian physician who did a sonogram of my knee, said I had a big tumor in there when it was the Baker's cyst. That's how bad they are. And this guy was a so-called assistant professor at Hopkins. So a lot of things are going on, and people don't see it because it's hush-hush. And there's a media blackout on a lot of the bad stuff that comes in from healthcare, especially from Obamacare.
The last time I read, the website alone cost $2.1 billion.
Yeah.
You know, how many people could have been helped? This just seems like a ridiculous amount and still not working right.
Millions of people could be helped by the money that's being wasted. To implement Obamacare and the tens of millions of dollars that go to the regulatory structure, that money should go directly to helping people. And even if they want to help every illegal, it would have been easy to go through the states if we had to go on that action, if we were forced to do that. It will be cheaper to go in a direction on a person-by-person basis than this massive program for the central government trying to control every aspect of health care. Just let me put it in perspective for people, if you allow me, for a second. There are almost 3 million nurses or nurse technicians or people like that in the country. There are approximately 900,000 physicians in practice. About 20-25% don't do direct care or administrative or other functions. I mentioned the 5,700 hospitals before. There are thousands of freestanding clinics out there and tens of thousands of individual doctor's offices that have employed one or more physicians. So it's a huge complex to manage from a central point. It will not work. Obamacare is dead on arrival. They just won't admit it. They're keeping it alive. They're supporting it with funds. And a lot of the funds we don't even know they're putting in. They write a check, they put it in, say, hey, everything is rosy, when everything is not rosy. Recent case here in Maryland, a 77-year-old man was refused chemotherapy for chronic myelogenous leukemia. Luckily for him, he had Medigap insurance that would pay for it because Medicare and Obamacare would not pay for his chemotherapy. He went on to die from other reasons. not for lack of chemotherapy.
There are people that are just playing lip service to Obamacare and just paying it, but they really go out and get their own insurance and really be taken care of.
Could you figure this out? I'm from New York City. I grew up in Brooklyn. I was a poor kid on the street. Charles Schumer comes from Brooklyn, New York, claims he has this brilliant mind, 1600 on the SATs, et cetera, et cetera. How can a man like that, who has the cerebral capacity to understand just about anything, go for a program like Obamacare, which is a tragedy written end-to-end by lawyers? It enhanced lawyers' abilities to collect money through a multitude of means. How is that good for the nation? How is that good for people? How is that good for the average person on the street? It's not. All right. And medical assistance was out there. If you were down and out, I was that welfare kid. And when my father got sick when I was like 8 years old, for a couple of years we were on that. That is out there. There's a net out there. Why did we need Obamacare? Because the government wants to control one-seventh of the economy. And that's what Obamacare gives them. It gives them full control over your life. And in essence, if they extend upon the laws, if you don't pay your bills, you could have your house taken from you, or your condominium, or your business. That's what they wanted. They wanted to get into your life in such a way where they can control it and regulate you out of business, literally, if you're not giving health care. Look at Regal as an example. Regal Cinemas, they reduced a lot of the workers from full-time to part-time. They couldn't afford it. People think they're making noodles of money, and they're working on a 3%, 4%, 5% profit margin if you look at it per month and a month. So if you institute a program that you're forced to do and pay for all this kind of care, well, what happens at the end of the day? You go out of business. That's all.
Do you think there's any way that this is going to be repealed, or can we do anything to get it repealed?
We can play upon our representatives as much as we can to just bite the dust and vote against it. And there's many votes that have come up, but you have the Democrats out there that won't allow it. Of course, if they admit they made a mistake, and they're not going to admit that. And they think this is one of the best things since cheddar cheese came on the market, if you will. They think this is a great thing. I don't think it's going to be overturned in the short term. Not at all. As it moves forward, it gets too amassed in the population on many levels. And there's just a lot of things that you just don't write tomorrow there's no Obamacare, because then 20 million people don't have insurance. So you have to find mechanisms in which to backtrack, to get out of it, or circumvent it. And so far, I haven't seen anything from Congress that is going to do that.
Is there anything? Is there a country or a system that you see out there in your readings and wanderings and your research?
Yeah.
Is there something out there that we should look at and see as, oh, look, that works. That's the direction we should be moving. This one is obviously, bungled. Is there a direction out there where something does seem to be working, and that's what we need to be saying, why aren't we doing this?
Well, the Japanese system looks pretty good. I mean, there's nothing perfect out there, so we'll start with that as a floor. The Japanese system, which is a private-public contribution kind of system, helps most people, but people fall through the cracks in every system that's out there. The German, look at the English system, it's unraveling right now. They can't cover what they promised to cover. People waiting in ambulances outside emergency room, folks, outside emergency room for a day, two, or 3 days. People dying on ambulances. People not getting care on weekends. Doctors refusing to take the insurance. Bringing in, again, a horde of foreign physicians to take care of people and questionable ability. So we don't know the outcomes, what we see in each of the countries, because a lot of the information doesn't flow to us. But what we do see, Japanese have a long life. They seem to be able to get quick care for wherever they are, but they even admit they can't cover everybody. And Obamacare tries to cover everybody, and it doesn't do the job as they say it's doing. Because if you have 320 million people, some people say 316 million in this country, if 20 million are being covered, if that includes families, I imagine, that's not covering that many people. A lot of people are very hesitant about even going near it. And the doctors, apparently, a quarter of them don't want to go near the program.
Well, and I, there's more to that question, but
sure,
I know doctors, I know MDs, for instance, I know a doctor who is an MD and then went on to also study functional medicine.
Yeah.
And she had an office of her own. She had a kind of an okay practice. And this is somebody in her 50s. This is not a newcomer. And she had a pretty good practice, and then this all started to come down. And then the Leviathan that is the filing of documentation and taking insurance meant that she would have to have a staff just to be able to manage that in order for her to have a practice to help people. I mean, there's obviously something. I still want to use the word, but I can't. I'll use my other word, fracked up. It's so fracked up and blows my mind that we have people, well, such as yourself, who want to be practitioners helping people. That's why most doctors become doctors. They want to help people. Whether we agree with what they're doing or not is a separate issue in terms of protocols. However, you know, they get screwed up because the system is just this giant snot wad of bureaucratic crap.
It's Levantian, as you're saying. It's huge. Let me go back to the 1960s. Doctors put their records on index cards, those big index cards, little index cards, and analogies that you put on small. And as we move forward, they came up with a concept of standard of care. Sounds like a good thing on the surface, quality of medicine, standard of care. There's really no standard of care because many cases are so complex. There's not how do you create a standard for a complex case? That's very difficult. That they do it one way in Washington County, another way they do it in Pennsylvania, another does it in Massachusetts. So the standard of care actually helped the attorneys bring lawsuits. That's what that was all about. That is the standard of care. When Obamacare was created, they put a level of standard of care. There's no books in there that I could look up and say, what is the standard of care in Maryland as opposed to what is it in Pennsylvania, whatever. But the lawyers are making a lot of money off of Obamacare because of the medical record. Now, looking specifically at medical records, HIPAA, everybody knows it, the Health Insurance Act that allowed the government to get into your medical records, literally. There's been two or three updates to that. That started under Clinton, came in under second President Bush. That requires an oodle level of paperwork. Now doctors are being forced to put medical records online, which is crazy in and of itself. Now they'll know if you're incontinent or you can't get an erection, excuse me, don't mean to be abusive here, but they'll know that. The insurance companies will know you're using Viagra, they'll know you're using progesterone, whatever. This is what the government wants. It wants a full dossier on people, and the doctors are the elements. The doctors are the clerks, basically, for the government to put this medical information online, and it costs a lot of money to set up the systems to do that. So this has been in transit for a while. It's not just under Obama, but Obamacare exponentially moved forward with all the paperwork required to keep the practice open. We're hit with the standards of care all the time. I used to run a chain of nursing homes with a bunch of other doctors, and all they'd come in would say, you didn't do this. They would send in a reviewer who had 1 year of internship. That was it post, and I didn't know it. I didn't know at the time that she had what she had. And she was criticizing neurosurgical procedures. She was criticizing EKGs that she didn't even know how to read. The government sends an inexperienced or poorly educated people to make decisions on your health care day to day. Let me give you one big example. We had a very good heart surgeon down in Washington, D.C. here. He would take all the borderline cases, the cases that other doctors didn't want, because he was that kind of guy. One day, he gets into a medical malpractice suit, and after that, all the other doctors won't refer to him. Doctors will not go to the ninth degree right now because they're afraid that someone's going to come out there and sue them saying that you didn't follow the standard of care, so people die. You know, a lot of times you have to go to the edge to treat to save people's lives. I had a case of Rocky Mountain spotted fever up in Howard County in the 1980s. The woman had one foot in the grave. We went every which way to save her. We did save her. We brought in I think it was a poorly educated infectious disease doctor initially. I didn't know. I was into the hospital. He said reduce the steroids. Well, in Rocky Mountain spotted fever, not only you give antibiotics and all kinds of, you elevate the steroids. I brought somebody in from university, but I became the worst guy in the world because I displaced this black doctor from the case. Originally, I'm the one who originally brought him into the case. So there's a lot of questionable abilities out there in the medical field, and we are played upon to move forward with good care, quality care. That's what Obamacare was supposed to give, but at the end of the day, it doesn't do that because it causes clashes among the doctors themselves in terms of providing care.
We have a couple of people in chat I'm going to combine a couple of these. Obamacare is part if the plan systematic. Obamacare is the planned systematic dismantling of America and is like a federally syndicated mafia.
Yeah.
Can you comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the powers that the government have through the IRS to take your home, extort money from you for these kind of things is no different than what the mafia did. They always think of mafia with these movies where you're getting killed. Because remember, I'm from New York City. I grew up in Brooklyn. At the time, the mafia was at its peak. It's not all about them. They ran a lottery. The mafia had a lottery. Just like you have a lottery now, the state steals your money. The mafia was running their own lotteries. The mafia was running drugs. This is what Obamacare does. It allows the government into your life to manage your health care, to tell you how to manage your life, literally, in a sense. It is a sense a mafia type of application that they have right now, but it gets deeper than that because they're going to tell us how long we could live. As the case I mentioned earlier, there is no death panels. There are cost panels, and if there's a cost panel that says you should not have this or that, even though your doctors recommend it, then that's like the mafia killing somebody, if you want to be analogous to the mafia, in a sense. So we have a system where the government intimidates people and pushes them in a direction that their health care may not be necessitated to go at the time that they need it.
Wow. We were talking before the show about the cover-up of the measles and where that's really coming from. Would you talk about that a bit?
Well, measles, real quick on measles, for audience, measles used to be a pandemic across the country. I had it as a kid. A lot of people have it. Now it's almost gone, but there have been isolated groups that have had it in California at Disneyland. People probably know that. In Chicago, a group of kids, young kids, the young men of the year, received measles. There are a number of unvaccinated groups around the country that are afraid these parents that they're going to have thimerosal mercury in the vaccine. So that's not true. There's no mercury in the vaccine. They're live attenuated vaccines. You need to get the measles vaccine separate or with MMR, measles, Bronson, rubella. It's a safe vaccine. It's been proven itself time and time again. When you have an unvaccinated group and vaccinated groups, the unvaccinated group will get the measles. It's still out there. It's transmitted by fluid droplets, coughing, sneezing, things like that. And if you're in a group that has it and you're not vaccinated, 90% of the people within that group will get the measles vaccine. Measles starts about 10 to 12 days after exposure. Usually it lasts about 2 weeks and it goes away. There's no antibiotic for it because it's an RNA virus. Thing is, the unvaccinated people or the people that get an intensity of measles well beyond the norm that people would have normally, would have on the average, would the 30% of people get brain problems with it, testicular problems, gynecological things like this, abdominal problems. So it's a mess in terms of that. We believe, many of us, that the people coming across the southern border who are coming in unvaccinated or reintroducing measles. We don't know who the caretakers were on those children up in Chicago, but I would bet you some of those people were unvaccinated. And this is not a show to detriment, make illegals the bad people. It's just that they're not vaccinated. If they're bringing medical problems into the country, they need to be vaccinated and cared for, and they're not being vetted. Now, we talked about antivirus 68D, another virus that's spread across the country, and the CDC says we don't know where it came from. We know exactly where it came from. It came from south of the border where it's endemic, and they're bringing it in here. Now that children are being distributed all across the country with their families in many cases, we're seeing more of these kind of cases come up. But the media itself is covering it up. They're not telling us who's bringing it in. They're saying, we don't know. The epidemiologists definitely do know where it's coming from, and the CDC is just compliant with whatever Obama tells them to do.
We have a comment from the audience, and if I'm stepping on your toes, Richard, just jump in here. And this is from Steve. I think this is a great idea. If a group of natural docs formed an insurance company that offered services required by law, but also all the natural alternative care for free beyond premiums buffet style as long as the patient did not use the standard medical care, it would soon be the primary insurance company converting Obamacare into natural care. You know, that's what we're trying to do here at the Institute, set up an alternative system for people to use.
But what happens, let me just interject right there, there's medical boards in every state and territory, and the medical board will come back and say that the natural care, which may be completely effective and excellent, is not the care that should be given because it falls outside the standard of care. So even though you may be giving it away for free, whatever, if you're practicing medicine, if you have a license, you're not allowed to use this, 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 or that. I used to use phenamine for a diet. People came by the thousands to get phenamine from to me and many doctors throughout the state. The state comes back and says, you shouldn't use it for maintenance. You shouldn't use it for this. You shouldn't use it for that. That's what they do. They threaten your license. They go after you. They tie you up in courts or whatever because the state thinks they know more than the practitioners who studied medicine for 12, 15, or more years. So in your paradigm with the natural products, many of them do very well with those products. Nevertheless, the state's going to come back and say, hey, look, they're not proven. They're not FDA approved. They're not disapproved. And that's what comes back. So you have to be very careful. Doctors have to be very careful when they do that.
Sam is asking a question that I don't quite understand. When Obamacare collects the money, where does it go? Or are they only giving money out?
No, it goes to the general treasury. And not enough is coming in to be given out. So it's increasing the federal debt by hundreds of billions of dollars. That's the answer to that question. There's no specific fund where it goes. We would hope it would go to a specific fund, but at the end of the day, they coalesce into the Treasury, and it's a general fund.
So for those of you who lost sound temporarily, the money goes into a general fund, but not nearly as much as coming in as going out, so we're getting deeper in debt, trying to take care of people who aren't our responsibility in the first place.
Very much so. Very much so. Absolutely on target. We are getting more and more and more in debt. I think the latest debt was $18 trillion. I think by the time President Obama finishes office, if he indeed does finish office at the second term, because he may want to go on for a third term. Who knows what they'll do. It'll be $20, $25 trillion at that time. It just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. He doesn't understand economics on any level at all. He just thinks we should just give out money, and we know who's getting the money.
Two questions.
Well, it seems like... Oh, go ahead.
Just two questions I was going to combine. Are vaccines safe, and are they mandated through Obamacare?
All right. First, there's been a big question about vaccines and autism. Can't speak to every vaccine that's out there. The ones that, if you're looking at MMR, which is measles, mumps, and rubella, it's been proven effective over and over and over again. That's not it. If you look at the chickenpox vaccine, varicella vaccine, that's been proven well. The meningococcal vaccine has been proven well. People that are touting that there was thimerosal or mercury in them, most of these vaccines are abandoned those base for the vaccine, so that should not be an issue. Whether they're causing autism or not, in my humble view, I think autism is overdiagnosed. We know there's autism there for sure. We know there's Asperger's there. We know autism spectrum disorder is out there. But this is an overdiagnosed concept of autism. And if you'll allow me, just real quick, autism in the world is 2 per 1,000 in the world. In Maryland here, it's 1 in 88. In fact, for boys, it's 1 in 44. It is the most overdiagnosed, misrepresented disease on the planet. If a child is a little bit slower than the next kid, he's autistic, according to these people. We have a bevy of psychologists and psychiatrists who make a great living out of maintaining autistic kids in their practices. Pharmaceutical companies are making millions. If you look at an article, Autism America's New Industry, which yours truly wrote about 2 or 3 years ago, it's out there on the Internet, and I make the case that there's definitely autism, so I'm not denying that, but there's just overabundance of it that's not there.
I have a question. I want to go back to sort of what I would call it, if this is sayable about Obamacare, a sort of a sleeper issue in my mind, is back to the thing you're talking about with all this data gathering, where they want to, the two things that stick in my craw of many are that all this data they want to gather so that they can search it and at the drop of a hat, look at, you know, anything about us. And it's online. And we've seen repeatedly, you know, like there was just a big hack for, I think it was Anthem Insurance Company of 80,000 clients' databases.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, because nobody wants to spend the money to actually make their data secure. They just want to gather it, but they don't want to actually spend the funds necessary to make it secure. It could be really secure, but nobody wants to actually invest the money to do that. That's a separate issue. So they want to gather all this data, and they seem to really, really, really want to control our money. You know, they really want in there to be able to use the IRS as an arm to go in there and say, oh, you didn't pay this, we're taking your money. So that's two of the aspects that scare me the most in terms of, for me personally, that's why I'm such a fan of Sherry's Guardian Network, because I'm much more about self-health care because I don't see the system getting any better. But those two aspects really scare me, where they have this huge database of data, like you say, that just they just want everything online because they want it searchable. Well, is there any, you know, can we turn that around? It's like
well,
the Titanic.
From the short term, I would be very careful what you tell the doctor. Stay on target. Don't give him too much information. I know that the doctor needs maximum information to get to the diagnosis, but we know also that this information is going into a data bank somewhere. Excuse me. In a case in point, this, I know we have a few minutes left, there was a prescription intercepted in New York State. His wife passed or something, and he was put on an anti-anxiety drug for a little while. Well, somehow the government found out. They came to take his gun from him because they say he was a psycho or something. So we know the government is out there using information in a wrong way when they have a lot of it, and they will get a lot more of it as time goes by. So I'd be very careful what I put on these things.
Dr. Davis, we know that you appear a lot of places. You have books.
Yes.
Do you have a way for people to contact you? Do you have radio shows?
I do iHeart on Fridays, but that's a 15-minute segment. They basically allow me to speak whatever I want. I do several shows during the month. I'm on the Jay Tippy show. I do the J.J. McCartney show pretty frequently. We go through the news. Just the numbers of shows that ask me to come on. My privilege to come on, like today. I really appreciate it. But my email is PlatoMD, PlatoMD@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at twitter.com/AmericaSage if you want to come on there. I put regular stuff up there about healthcare and things like that. We have a huge group on LinkedIn. Just go to Mark Davis MD if you want to connect up there. And I'm the only Mark Davis MD who has that size group. And so I'm around, and I really appreciate it. If people would look at the Obamacare book, they would get a full summary very quickly. There's a Kindle version and a Nook version of the book. If they go there, it's a few dollars. They can see what Obamacare has done and what it's doing right now. And we predicted all the things that are happening. And as we talked before the show, there's one more thing. The book, Obamacare Survival Guide, I don't want to denigrate the author. He's a very good author. But that didn't come true. There's no survival in Obamacare. Only going to get worse.
Oh, so keep our own taxes and don't let the government have them so they can take them.
Yeah.
So for right now, just go along with the flow, but do your own thing and find a natural doctor. What else can we tell people to do?
I think those are along the lines that you can do. Take care of yourself the best you can. Take vitamins, minerals, proteins, exercise, keep your weight down. Do all the things that can be done to keep your health up, and that'll be the good things.
Okay.
And what do you think? I want to toss this in very quickly. I've had a couple of people who've recently been to the doctor, and one of the questions on the questionnaire, the intake from the doctors, is now something about guns. Do you have a gun? Have you ever owned a gun?
Yeah.
You know, what? So is this another angle of data gathering, of another way of, you know, DHS, that whole giant nasty stew that is now the government, is DHS, the largest holder of ammunition in the world, you know, is gathering data about whether we have guns or not, because healthcare has got that in there?
It should not be on any physician form. It has nothing to do with physicians at all. It was been put in there to just extract more data from the public. That's by and large.
Wow.
Well, when I was asked that question, I said, and why would you need to even ask that? They said, well, if you're depressed, we need to know that if you have a gun or not.
Now that information is going to end up in some bureau in a state and in the federal bureaucracy, and they will come after your gun. They'll find that as soon as you get a sleeping pill, they're going to come get your gun from you. That's what they want. And they're doing a very good job at it, too. They're policing the pharmaceutical companies right now, the prescriptions. So we know that's happening. It happens in California, too.
We've been asked to ask you to repeat your email address, Plato something.
Plato, P-L-A-T-O-M-D, at gmail.com, PlatoMD at gmail.com. If you want a signed copy of the book, I could send it to you, whatever charges. I don't know what they cost now. So we're here. We're happy to be on, and we really appreciate your time today.
Well, we hope lots of people go out and buy your book. We've got it up on the site as people are watching. Obamacare Dead on Arrival. 5 stars from Amazon. I haven't looked at other places. There aren't many reviews of this, so if you read it and you love it, or even if you, hey, I heard him on a radio show and really loved it, go in and write some reviews.
Yeah,
the more reviews, the better. Well, the more his book goes to the top of the recommended list.
I can tell you the lawyers don't like the book. I could tell you the lawyers didn't like Demons of Democracy because it attacks them right at their core. I could tell you Obamacare was written end-to-end by lawyers. It's all illegalese, and you need a deciphering book to understand it.
It almost seems like, I thought we were going to close, but I have to say this, it almost seems like somehow the legal lobby industry wrote this all so that they could funnel the money through them first, then everybody else gets theirs. It's just
this is a gift to the lawyers, like you said. This is a major gift to the trial attorneys because they supported Obama in 2008 and 2012. So they got paid back big time. And they make a lot of money off. They make a lot of money off malpractice cases, standard of care cases, cases before any federal or state agency. Lawyers are in big on this, and they shouldn't be.
We've had one of our people say, if a physician asked me whether I owned a gun, I would not answer. And I asked that question. If I don't answer that, what are they going to say? They said,
Nothing.
Have to report you. Well, they told me they had to report me if I'd refused to answer.
Not
so
applicable. Don't believe that. That's not true. They don't have to report anything. Those forms are within the office itself. They're not federally written forms. What is he? Is he kidding? Then find another doctor. Just don't fill out that. Say non-applicable.
No.
It's none of their business.
They were asking me by words in an interview. My cholesterol is 133, and I know we got to go. And they tried to put me on statins, and I refused. And they said they were going to report me.
Statins is one that's ridiculous. That's one total cholesterol 133 is normal. Anything less than 200 is normal. So why would they want to do? There may be other redeeming factors that I don't know within the healthcare structure of this individual, maybe metabolic syndrome or something like that. But just for that, no, that's crazy.
I thought so too. I changed doctors.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. I would change doctors. There are a lot of doctors that are uninitiated. In current medicine, and a lot are, and a lot of very good physicians around the country, and many specialties, and they should be applauded for keeping up their abilities over these years. And the majority of doctors are just very good people in general. It's not about money always, and they make it that the doctors are making all this money. Well, not under Obamacare, they're not. Not under medical assistance, they're not.
Wow. I know we could go on for a while.
Yeah, we go on for hours.
Stop now.
I've done
2.5 hours
on this one time. they didn't want to get off the air.
No. Thank you so much, Mark. It was great having you back. We'll have to have you back again because it's like another half dozen things I could lob out like an easy tennis ball. We could bat back and forth. It just blows my mind.
Let me know when you want to do another show. I'll be very happy to be back. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Thanks very much.
You have a great
Everybody
day.
Everybody, anything else? You too. Anything else, Sherry?
Yes, but we're just out of time. There's dozens of questions coming in. Forced vaccinations. We will have you back. Absolutely.
Absolutely. There's a whole subject on forced vaccinations for sure.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thanks again, Doctor. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks very much, everybody.
Take care now.
Bye.
Have a great day. Be careful out there in the cold.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.